Please continue to hold. Your call is important to us. We are experiencing higher than usual levels of existential doubt. Our lines are also unusually busy due to the sudden disappearance of time and space in several regions. If you're phoning from a time zone that no longer exists, please remain on hold until reintegration with the universe. To better direct your call, please state the name of your first betrayal. If you are calling about a billing error, press 1. If you believe in life after love, press 2. If the bill has begun to increase, place it under a glass and back away slowly without making eye contact. You are currently number 66 in the queue. A representative will be with you as soon as their metamorphosis completes.
Moth Hotel.
I shall now read the minutes of the last meeting. Item 1. The map of the Moth Hotel was updated and redrawn. It now includes the swamp, both moons, the folly adjacent to the east wing, the observatory, and the new fishing lake. Item 2. We attempted to define the mission of the podcast. After a brief seance and some unfortunate typos, we accidentally summoned Beelzebub. The Dark Lord declined to contribute to the meeting and has since been skulking behind the curtains in the boardroom. Item 3. There was a discussion on morale. The consensus was that it was probably buried in the garden somewhere, and a spade has been requisitioned. Item 4. Jonathan spoke at length, although no one could recall him being on staff. He raised some excellent points about entropy and snacks, and some of us wrote them down. Unfortunately, the ink vanished overnight. Item 5. The sound of distant weeping was traced to the tape machine in the control room. Maintenance have been informed. The meeting concluded when the boardroom table folded itself into the shape of a question mark. The board have chosen not to interpret this as anything sinister.
Turn right in 500 feet. Drive past the petrol station that only sells out-of-date crisps. At the mini roundabout, take the first exit alongside the shop that always opens precisely 5 minutes after you've given up waiting. In 400 feet, keep left, ignoring the boarded-up pub where the jukebox still plays faintly on its own. Turn right at the crossroads, where the traffic lights are stuck on amber. Continue until you see the faded mural of a smiling child with no eyes. You have arrived at Moth Hotel.
Some folks believe that the Moth Hotel was once an archive of lost apologies. People traveled miles to whisper their regrets into jars, which were then carefully stacked and labeled by monks with atrocious handwriting. Over the centuries, the labels decayed, and the jars were opened at random, unleashing thousands of apologies into a world with no recipients. This explains why you sometimes feel forgiven by strangers on buses, or why your toaster seems oddly understanding. The monks reportedly held weekly apology recitals where they uncorked the jars, releasing a soft fog of contrition into the air. Entire villages would find themselves murmuring sorry for days, unsure of what crime they had committed. One local proverb from the time still survives: an apology without a reason is the heaviest kind. Many skeptics argue there's no proof of any of this, unless you count certain town records that show a sudden epidemic of deep sighs without cause. Believers say the jars are still out there somewhere, disguised as ordinary pickle jars. Open one at the wrong picnic, and everyone will suddenly remember what they should have said to their mother before she died. If you've ever caught yourself saying sorry to an inanimate object, you may have once visited Moth Hotel in a dream.
I'm Richard Burton. This is my voicemail from the void. Birds are conspirators in the grand plot of the sky. They meet at dawn, discuss secrets we cannot hear, and occasionally steal a pair of pants or two from unsuspecting laundry lines. I watch them, envious. Do not tell Elizabeth.
Today's guest wine is Domaine de la Romanée-Conti 2015 Pinot Noir, a bottle whose price makes one wonder if Burgundy has secretly invented its own currency. The bouquet, ah, damp autumn leaves rotting under a chaise longue. Goose fat, definitely goose fat, and a faint whiff of violin rosin abandoned after a particularly emotional sonata. There's cherry, but a wounded cherry, one that has seen war. On the palate, my word. It tiptoes in delicately, then collapses into the arms of plum jam.
I'm Lily. I'm calling because a second front door appeared in my hallway this morning. It's identical to the first door. Same brass number, same peeling blue paint. When I open it, it leads to an identical version of my flat. Same cracks in the plaster, same unwashed mug in the sink. Only, the light is different. Not darker, exactly. Just older. Sort of sepia in tone. I stood in there for a while. Everything felt slightly further away than it should be, and I could hear breathing, but couldn't see where it was coming from. I haven't opened the door again. It's locked now, and I don't remember locking it. Also, there's post being delivered through both doors. Identical letters, except one has slightly worse handwriting. I need someone to blame, so I'm going to blame Kevin MacLeod.
Velvety, yes, but the velvet has been stored in a damp castle. A surprising hint of ferret bedding and something like the inside of an old clarinet case lined with mildew. There's also leather. Second-hand, cracked, worn by a tailor with secrets. It is Shakespeare in liquid form, fruity despair mixed with faint, rotting mushroom. And the texture, like running your tongue across a bishop's slipper, only to find it dusted with cocoa powder. The finish is absurdly long, like a love letter from someone you didn't want to hear from. It lingers, it whines, it insists. Truly the liquid embodiment of aristocratic neurosis. The dog's bollocks.
Tired of running out of time? Wish you could stretch a moment just a little longer. Introducing Chronoflex, the world's first personal time sponge. Simply place Chronoflex in any room where time feels like it's slipping away. Staff meetings, awkward hugs, your entire 30s. You will instantly feel the seconds thicken, giving you space to breathe, reflect, or quietly leave the room. No batteries, no moving parts, no legal recognition in any country. Just the comforting squelch of minutes held gently in suspension. Perfect for overthinkers, daydreamers, and those waiting for someone to finally finish a sentence. Chronoflex. Because life is short, but it doesn't have to be. Chronoflex. Soak up the moment.
Romance, everybody says it's roses, candlelight, violins, not for me. I say, meet me in the graveyard. You sit there on a bench, arm around your sweetheart, and you argue over who gets the splinters. There's honesty in that. Love, death, splinters, that's the Holy Trinity. Try kissing someone when an angel statue's watching you. Now that's passion. If the dead start applauding, you're doing it right. I should know. I'm the grave digger. I've always been the grave digger.
I'm having the biscuit dreams again. Last night I was in an old hotel, the sort of place where the mirrors are too clean and the carpet is too soft, like it's trying to hide something. There was a reception desk, unattended. On the bell was a note. Ring for custard. I did, 3 times. The ceiling opened, and slowly a garland of chocolate digestives descended, swinging slightly like a pendulum. They were warm. I wasn't meant to touch them, but I did. just once. Suddenly, I was standing in a conference room, surrounded by 19 identical men named Graham. They asked me what I knew about oatcakes. I said, "Just enough to be dangerous." They nodded grimly. I woke up with a faint cinnamon smell on my hands. I haven't eaten cinnamon in weeks.
Ah, hello. Jeff Goldblum here. People often think I live in a modernist bunker carved into a cliffside surrounded by bonsai and silence. In fact, I live above a modest hat shop in Clapham. It's not a secret per se, just a quiet agreement. The shop owner believes I'm a retired cello teacher named Muriel. I have tea with her every Thursday. She's never questioned my wig collection.
You have one new message.
I finally completed cataloging the whispers in the cellar. It took me 3 weeks and a significant toll on my short-term memory, but it's done. The whispers are now arranged alphabetically. Well, sort of. The voices don't exactly adhere to our alphabet, which caused a few complications here and there. One particular whisper, which I believe is called Thomas, persistently asks for information about the year 1974. I wasn't around back then, but I shared what I could. Richard Nixon, the popularity of lava lamps, Babe Ruth's enduring legacy, the song Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas, turtleneck fashion trends, and the rise of yogurt consumption. In other news, the tap water has thickened again. It's not really drinkable anymore. More sort of chewy, and it tastes like dandelions. Quite peculiar, really. Oh, by the way, if anyone happens to come across my glasses, the ones I got from Timmy Mallet, please return them. They're grade 2 listed.
In my 20s, I briefly worked as a diplomatic courier for the Finnish government. Not official. They just needed someone who could deliver delicate items without drawing attention. I once transported an antique dessert spoon in a hollowed-out copy of Pride and Prejudice. I'm sure I was almost caught at customs, but I distracted the agent by humming a Finnish lullaby in D minor. It worked.
Here is a list of today's archaeological finds, unearthed in the grounds of the Moth Hotel. A piece of Roman mosaic. A teapot with a tiny door at its base, labeled Private, Enter at Your Own Risk. A collection of 400 postcards sent from Skegness, each stamped with the same date, February 31st. A pair of spectacles with the lenses removed. 10 jars of pickled onions. A single playing card, the Queen of Clubs, made entirely from dried leaves. A picture of the BBC newsreader, Clive Myrie. A tarnished trophy inscribed, "For Outstanding Silence in Hall 3. A porcelain breakfast plate with 2 fossilized fried eggs, sunny side up. A small pile of sand. And a golfing umbrella that will only open on Tuesday afternoons.
I don't own a mobile phone. I find them needlessly frantic. I communicate primarily through postcards, reflective surfaces, and occasionally a retired pigeon who used to deliver messages to the front lines in France. So her name is Dottie. She wears a small beret. Years ago, I bred a line of hypoallergenic goats for a friend with both severe allergies and a strong emotional attachment to dairy. The goats were moody but elegant. We named them after minor Shakespearean characters, when one of them, Feste, still lives in a wellness retreat in Cornwall. Once a year, I disappear for 3 days, and no one, not even my agent, knows where I go. I return well-rested, slightly taller, and carrying a new scarf. When people think I'm mysterious, which is flattering. But really, I just move quietly, listen carefully, and maintain several legally distinct identities. Not for any sinister reason. I just find it helps with grocery shopping. Life, I've found, is most interesting in the margins. I don't chase the plot. I follow the footnotes. I'll let you into a little secret. I don't like dinosaurs.
Taurus, Today you'll hear your name spoken in a voice that shouldn't know it. Don't turn around. Your train will be late, but the message it carries will be early. A sense of déjà vu will actually be just a prelude to something else. Beware of anyone offering you soup. There is no such thing as free soup. You will laugh at an awkward moment and be more correct than you realize. A door will close and a window will open, but not in your house. The newsreader, Clive Myrie, will send you a flower. Place it in a book.
Broadsword calling Danny boy. I am pissed as a fart again. I am pissed as a fart again. Over.
Please comply with the following instructions to exit this podcast. First, locate the nearest reflective surface. Preferably not your phone. Something older. A tarnished spoon. A forgotten mirror. A glossy photograph of someone who never called back. Stare into it. Wait until your reflection blinks. Now whisper your full name backwards in your nicest telephone voice. If you accidentally summon Beelzebub, don't engage. Next, walk exactly 5 steps forward. Yes, even if you're seated. Yes, even if you're driving. The podcast assumes no liability. If a small bell rings, congratulations. You've achieved provisional departure. Finally, recite the following phrase with conviction. I was never really here, was I? You may now exit the podcast or remain and feel the quiet, humming presence of all the others who almost left.
Moth Hotel was written and produced by Brian Luff. Music by Kevin MacLeod. Voice technology by 11 Labs. All celebrity voices were impersonated. Moth Hotel was a Sowerby and Luff production for Studio Senseless.